If you would tonight, take your Bibles and go with the book of Obadiah. We're working through the Bible characters, and we come to this book of the Bible, Obadiah, and the man Obadiah, and I'm just going to tell you, all we really know about him was that he was a prophet, and God saw fit to write and to put in God's Word, His Word, the words of Obadiah. And Obadiah, as we read this book of the Bible together tonight, 21 verses, one chapter, I want you to be thinking about what's on the heart of Obadiah, what God has spoken to him about. Obadiah is going to address the issue between the nation of Israel and the nation of Edom. The nation of Israel has its founding in the man Jacob. You remember Jacob? Jacob was later named by God Israel, and the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, come out of Jacob. The nation of Edom is the byproduct of Jacob's older brother. You remember the hairy one, Esau? Esau was born. They were at enmity. God chose Jacob to be the father of the nation of Israel, his people. And Esau was a man that was given to the flesh. Esau was a man who's both in his life and in his posterity and his heritage, there was great rebellion and heathenism. And the history of Jacob and Esau continues even to this day. But for many, many, many years, thousands of years literally, Edom oppressed, and every chance they got, they did injustice to the nation of Israel. And God speaks to the prophet Obadiah in regards to this terrible thing that Edom, the nation of Esau, has done to Israel, the nation of Jacob. With that in mind, I want you to see and understand more clearly the words of Obadiah. Will you follow along with me as we read this together? Obadiah, verse number 1, the Bible says, "The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised." Verse number 3, the Bible says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered upon those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, they shall swallow down, they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And this concludes the reading of the book of Obadiah. Obadiah was a prophet of God, and his burden was very singular in its focus. His burden was for the nation of Israel. And his message was condemnation against the nation of Edom. Not because they came from Esau, but because the nation of Edom, beginning with Esau, had turned their backs on the nation of Israel. I was preparing for this message, and I listened to a man preach, and really the crux of his message on the book of Obadiah was, he said, I want to encourage you to get Israel on your prayer list. So we look at the book of Obadiah, he said, I want to encourage you to put Israel on your prayer list. And folks, there is great significance at this very moment on God's people and nations willing and ready to support the nation of Israel. The Abrahamic covenant is old and was written in the book of Genesis, but it's as true today as it's ever been, that God will bless them that bless his people and curse them that curse them. And I'll have you know something, Esau and the people of Edom have not escaped the wrath of God in regards to turning their back on the nation of Israel. And we need to learn from their mistakes and support Israel. There's also a few other things we can learn. I believe God will help us as we look at this message and this man, Obadiah. First of all, I want to bring your attention to this, number one, Obadiah's message. In the first two verses of this chapter, we see Obadiah's message and the emphasis of this passage of Scripture. The Bible says, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. What's Obadiah say? Obadiah says, I've heard from the Lord. I've heard, I know it's true, that Edom is going to suffer the consequences of turning their back on the nation of Israel. Verse number 2, the Bible says, behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Do you know that the nation of Edom, they had historically inhabited the land of Petra? The story in the land of Petra is quite fascinating, and you can visit it today. I'd love to see it sometime. I've heard stories about Petra. But the fascinating thing about Petra was there was one way in, and it was very defendable. If you lived in Petra, you were in a very safe place. Folks say that the passage to Petra at this time was so narrow that two horses couldn't enter into Petra side by side. And therefore, the way that you entered, an army of men could be held off by 12 willing soldiers. They were able to hide out in the crevices. And so the nation of Edom had become very proud of their place that they lived and proud of their protection and their power and their authority. So proud that they had become puffed up in their hearts against God, against God's people. And irregardless to the stories that they had heard of the nation of Israel and God's protection and God's provision and God's faithfulness through their great, 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 great uncle Jacob, known as Israel, though they'd heard of all that God had done, because of their earthly possession, because of their past victories, in the name of their heathenism, in opposition to God, they become puffed up with pride. And Obadiah sends a message. He says, I want you to understand something. It does not matter how big you think you are in your sight. I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. What was Obadiah's message? There's coming a battle. What was Obadiah's message? There's coming ruin to the nation of Edom. They've turned their back on God. They've acted out against the nation of Israel. Battle and belittlement. Obadiah's message. Number two, Edom's sin. Edom's sin. The Bible gives us some details into Edom's sin. The first thing that's highlighted in regard to Edom's sin is something we need to pay close attention to. The Bible says in verse number three, that the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Can you hear them? Here they are inhabiting the cliffs of Petra. Here they are confident of their military strategy. And the Lord says, your pride has deceived thee. Their sin was their pride. Their pride had deceived them. Do you know something? That's something that applies to right now. Pride is not a good thing. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Bible teaches us that a man's pride, in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. In Proverbs 13:10, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, the Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Isn't it amazing to look at the culture that we live in today, and it's pride this and pride that and pride this and pride that? And I understand there's an occasion where a dad may look at his boy and say, I'm proud of you. But I'll tell you something, if your heart's puffed up with pride and arrogancy in regards to your children, you're setting them up for failure. It's good to have resolve. Maybe we need to change the word. I'm thankful for you. I'm encouraged by your hard effort. But pride in sin, pride in the flesh, pride is something that produces destruction. Never forget it. Never forget it. Pride. Pride causes us to miss out on God's grace. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace. Pride sets us up for ultimate failure. May God help us. May God help us to wage war against pride. The sin of Edom was their pride. They were so proud of themselves and proud of their standing that they were even willing to stand against God and God's word and God's people. And we understand that they've reaped the consequences and will continue so for all of eternity. Edom's sin, their pride, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Verse number 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. He says, look, it doesn't matter how militarily strong Petra is, I will bring you down. Folks, I want you to know something. You do not have health that is not granted by God. You do not have ability that is not granted by God. I pray that we'll teach the boys and the girls that play sports around here and that are in our schools, that are in our Sunday school classes, that everything that they have is something that has been benefited to them by God. And I'll tell you something, God expects you to use it for His glory. But we have no reason to glory in ourselves. All the glory belongs to Jesus. And the Bible says in regards to Edom, they'd gotten to the place where they were so proud of themselves that they had forgotten and left God out. May we not get there. And you say, oh, I'd never leave God out. Hold on, wait just a minute. What are you resting in? Are you resting in your strength? Are you resting in your job? Are you resting in your skill sets? your talents? What are you resting in? So I don't mean to rest anything but God. I'll tell you, if we leave God out, our time alone with God every week, we prove that we are leaving God out and we're trusting in something else. If we leave our dependency on God in prayer, if we leave it and put it on the side, we realize that, and we should realize that we're leaving God out because of the pride of our heart. If we neglect to attend the local church the way God has asked us to and commune and fellowship with God's people, we're proving by our actions that our pride has puffed us up to a place that we are depending on ourselves and not on God. Just the mere fact that we leave God out proves the pride of our heart. May God help us to realize and practice the fact that without Him, I can do nothing. The pride of their heart. The Bible says in verse 5, the Lord gives detail to the judgment that was coming. He says, if thieves came to thee, and if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? Here's the message. They said, look, if thieves came in and stole and robbed from you, they're only going to take what they can hold. They're only going to take what they can possess in themselves. They're going to steal and rob until they've had enough, until they can't hold anymore. The robber can only fit so much in his bag. And they said, and the grape gatherer, you see it in verse 5? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? They said, if the grape gatherer come, they're going to leave some behind. There'll be an opportunity to glean. But he says, I want you to understand something. Verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Here's what the Bible is teaching and speaking and what Obadiah is saying to the nation of Edom. He said, look, robbers would leave some behind. Grape gatherers leave some behind. But when God gets finished with you, there will be nothing left. The language is plain. And folks, we need to understand something. We need God. We need God. We must have God. How can we serve God without Him? How can we go to heaven without Him? We can't. How can we thrive in life without Him? We cannot. How can we be successful students in school without God? You can't. You may appear that way for a time. And there were seasons in the nation of Edom where they were really on the rise. No doubt the day that they inhabited Petra for the first time, they're like, man, we have arrived. And you may have those moments in your life where you feel like you've arrived. But if you leave God out, I want to remind you of something, that you have nothing. And Obadiah sends this message to Edom. Without God, you have nothing. They said, you have robbers and grape gatherers, and they'll leave something behind, but when God gets finished with you, you will have been well searched out. You will have been well sought up. The mind of Edom goes to some of their allies, and the Bible says, we'll take care of your allies too. They said, well, if we fall, these folks we've helped along the way, they'll come to our aid, surely. The Bible says in verse 7, all the men of thy confederacy, all your allies, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. The Bible wants us to understand something, that Edom's sin was going to cause them to lose their allies. Edom's sin was going to cause them to lose their standing. Edom's sin was going to cause them to lose their wise men. Edom's stand against God and their pride was going to cause them to lose their mighty men. And they had nothing to offer in sight of the coming judgment. What's a sad look, isn't it? It reminds me so much of our nation today. I'm not a doom and gloom kind of guy. I'm actually very optimistic. I look forward to the future with great anticipation because I know God is faithful. But I'll have you know something. The Bible makes it very plain that when nations turn their backs on God, there is great judgment that follows. And the nations can depend on their wise men, but their wise men can't stand against God. And the nations can depend on their mighty men, but the nations cannot depend, their mighty men cannot stand against God. And nations may depend and think they can depend on their confederacy, their allies, but their allies cannot stand against God. And Obadiah sends this message from heaven. He says, you better stand with Israel. You better not stand against God's people, because you cannot, under any circumstance, stand against God. Edom's sin. The Bible continues in verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. What was it that was causing this great grief? The violence against thy brother Jacob. It happened like 1,600 years before this was written. Had God forgotten what Esau had done? No. Had the nation of Edom turned back to God through those years? No. They had followed in Esau's footsteps. And the sin of turning your back on God's people had continued. Thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. Thou shalt be cut off forever. Verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast one of them. The Bible says you've been guilty of not aiding, not only not aiding the nation of Israel, but you've been guilty of warring against them. Verse 12, thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. It's comparing Jacob and Esau. You shouldn't have looked. Thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he came a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. What's the Bible? What's God speaking through Obadiah about? God's recalling the many times that Edom had stood in opposition and failed to stand up for the nation of Israel, and God had not forgotten. It's a scary thought, is it not? God had not forgotten. And over again, thou shouldest not have, thou shouldest not have. Verse 14, neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. God sends his word, Edom, you've sinned. Edom, you've sinned. Your pride has brought you to the place where you've turned your back on God. Oh, I pray the Lord will not allow that to happen to any of us. But it's possible. I'll just tell you something. The sin of Edom happens in the hearts of people all the time. The sin of Edom happens in the hearts of folks who sit in classrooms and allow the philosophies of the world and the teaching that there is no creator to penetrate their hearts. That's the sin of Edom. Your pride, and somehow you get to the place where you think you know better than God and his word. Your pride has deceived your heart. And the sin of Edom produced judgment. The sin of Edom occurs when we accept anything that is in opposition to God and his word. The sin of Edom occurs when we reject God and his people. Oh, may God help us. You see, Edom's sin was pride and rebellion and a failure to stand for God's people, which leads to this, number three, Israel's victory. Israel's victory. Look what happens. The Bible says in verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. What's the Bible say? The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap in the New Testament. And it's amen in verse 15 of the book of Obadiah. The day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. Verse number 17. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob, I love this picture. It's sad, true. Look at this picture in verse 18. The Bible says, the house of Jacob shall be a fire. In my mind, I see the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. I see them glowing with fire and victory. You see them ablaze? The house of Jacob shall be a fire. The house of Joseph. You remember Joseph is one of the brothers. Joseph's boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, became leaders of the tribes of Israel. The house of Joseph. I see Joseph's brothers. I see Joseph and his boys, and they're a fire. God is going to bless his people. God is going to bless Israel. God is going to bless Israel. They're a fire. And the Bible says, and Esau, you see it? And the house of Esau, what's the house of Esau? Stubble. What's stubble? Stuff that catches on fire really, really easy. And the Bible just makes it very plain that God's people get victory over the heathen. It's true. That's why the old preacher said, I read the back of the book and we win. That's why we should be motivated, even in times where there's great confusion in our nation and our land and our world, to stand with God and His Word and not with the philosophies of men that come and go. You can study all through history. You can study all through history the patterns of society. There comes in nations, in the history of nations, for all of history, times where wickedness and rebellion and sinfulness and lewdness and perversion becomes the prominent religion of nations. And I want you to know something. Every person that has ever chosen to go with the whims of society have regretted that decision. It's not new what you deal with the perversion that we find at this moment in our nation, in our world. This is nothing new. It's happened time and time again. And what we should learn from the history of civilization, from places like Corinth, from places like Sodom and Gomorrah, what should we learn? Those who stand with God and God's people are victorious. Our resolve should be great to say yes to God and no to the world. Our resolve should be great to stand up for Jesus, irregardless to the appearance that the masses are opposed. May God give us the guts to stand. Why? Because God's people win. God's people are victors. I watched a little football yesterday, and I've been watching some along. And I like to, before the game, predict in my mind who might win. Most of the time, I seem to get it wrong. I'm a Tennessee fan, so, I mean, you miss it a lot. I want to win every time. They actually won one yesterday. I think it was a high school team, but they won. I like to predict and try to figure out who's going to win. But I'm often wrong. I want you to know something. There's a battle that's raging. There's a fight going on right now. And there's zero uncertainty who will prevail victorious. Those people who choose God, God's Word, the person of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, the nation of Israel, they win without apology and without exception every time. God is faithful. You know what Obadiah wants us to learn? Obadiah wants us to learn something. We need God, and our pride will bring us very low. You know what Obadiah wants us to know? That we reap what we sow. What Obadiah wants us to know is that God will always be victorious. Look what the Bible says in verse number 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Look at this. I love this last phrase. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. You see that? Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The kingdom belongs to Jehovah God. The kingdom shall be the Lord's. Guess what? We win. By all means, do not fall into the trap that has consumed so many people. Depend and trust and anchor your soul in God's Word, God's Son, and the Lord Jehovah Himself. Oh, it's so good. I read this interesting story. You say, preacher, man, it just seems like we're losing. But there was this farmer. He was an infidel. He was awful. And proclaimed atheist and mean about it. He'd heard all the chatter from the preachers and from the folks. We ought to honor the Lord's Day. And so what he did on this particular year, he planted his garden on Sunday. As a matter of fact, we need to back up a little bit. He plowed his garden on Sunday. He tilled his garden on Sunday. He planted his garden on Sunday. He fertilized his garden on Sunday. He watered his garden on Sunday. He harvested his garden on Sunday. And he wrote a little column in the newspaper and said, I've done all this on Sunday. And I've had the best crop ever. Someone responded to his article and they said just this. God does not always make full reckoning in October. And if you get to the spot where at this moment you think, man, this is awful. What are you doing, God? Just remember, He's faithful. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You'll be glad you did. Choose God. That's what Obadiah did. If we could title him a prophet, he was the prophet that believed God. What a wonderful lesson we learned from this great man.